the looming super typhoon has changed all our plans. And even though it hasn't arrived yet, and it seems very calm right now, we're anticipating the strong winds and heavy rains. So that's why there's so few of us here for the Mass. But still, it's important to take a moment to reflect on the Word of God and enter into the liturgy. I mean, after all, it is Sunday. This is our Sunday Mass, so Sunday is the day of the Lord, not the day of the typhoon. It's not Pepito Day, it's Sunday, the Lord's Day. So, and this is our opportunity to be with God, to hear His Word and to receive Him in the Eucharist. It's our opportunity to experience the gift that's mentioned in the second reading of the priest who offers one sacrifice for sins. That one sacrifice is what is made available to us here in a Mass. So it's a great privilege. So I'm just going to offer a few thoughts because it is a Sunday. And you would think that since we're here in the path of a super typhoon, that the first thing to come to mind would be how that is like what the readings speak about, the coming of the end of the world, or the coming of the second coming of the Lord in glory. And I'll get to that in a moment, but I'd like to start by pointing out that today is the eighth World Day of the Poor, called by Pope Francis. He stresses this Day of the Poor and hopes that it will have its impact on the church. What's a World Day of the Poor? Well, you could say for the poor, there's nothing, because every day, they're poor every day. People who are poor every day, and they don't have to be reminded of it. Although on payday, sometimes they forget that they're poor, and then they live like rich people sometimes. But it's this World Day of the Poor is for the poor, but it's also for those who tend not to recognize our poverty or the poverty of our brothers and sisters. Listen to what the Pope says about this. He wants this day to be a day to help communities and each of the baptized to reflect on how poverty is at the very heart of the gospel. And that as long as Lazarus lies at the door of our homes, there can be no justice or social peace. It's an interesting way of putting it. This is for us, the baptized, to reflect on how poverty is at the very heart of the gospel. Now, if I were to ask you what's at the very heart of the gospel, I don't think anybody would say poverty. I don't think that's the first thing that would come to mind. What's at the very heart of the gospel? Oh, you say love, Jesus Christ is at the heart of the gospel. Maybe you'd say the cross is at the heart of the gospel. And that's all true, of course, and the Pope would agree with that. But when he says poverty is at the very heart of the gospel, he's speaking about this same central mystery, that God's love for us, his love for the poor, is what makes it possible for us to have hope for glory. And it's what makes the poverty that we experience and that we see in the world something that we can handle. We are all poor before God. Everyone's poor before God. God is the rich one. So if you say at the heart of the gospel is the love of God, yes, the heart of the gospel is the saving work of Jesus Christ. But that very gift is what makes us rich, even if we have nothing. But it also gives us the obligation of loving our neighbor. And that's where concern for the poor comes in. This is where the Pope says, as long as Lazarus lies at the door of our homes, there can be no justice or social peace. Well, there can be justice somewhere in the world. There can be social peace developing somewhere. But for us, the one that is on our doorstep is the one that we are obliged to help, the Lazarus. So, yes, we're concerned about the refugees and the victims, but they're not right at our door. On the other hand, because of social media, because of news, we can see that the Lazarus is all around. And as this storm comes, you know, it's already hit the Bicol region. You can see in the media, the Lazaruses. I mean, their houses are being torn to pieces and the coastal areas are completely flooded by the storm surge. So, yes, the World Day of the Poor. The World Day of the Poor. On this day, now this is the, I think it's the sixth typhoon this month. Sixth, yeah. They said it's a record. We have four typhoons in the Philippines at the same time. It's never happened before. This is the fourth one. I mean, the one that's on us now. And so we think of the people whose lives are affected, the fishermen whose boats have been blown to pieces, and the people in low-lying areas who are flooded, and the victims of the landslides, the children, the elderly, people in the evacuation centers. Yes. Someone sent me a little chart about the typhoon. The signals always mention the wind strength. I guess it's only signal one here, right? Do you know? What's signal in Metro Manila? Signal one? Huh? Two, signal two. So that's a strong wind, but it's not going to blow us to pieces. It was signal five in Catanduanes. Signal five, I never heard of. Anyway, the chart that was sent to me is not about the wind strength, but about the rain. If there's 2 to 4 inches of rain, that's heavy rain. 4 to 8 inches, intense rain. I think that's right, intense rain. So that's what we're supposed to expect here, intense rain, 4 to 8 inches. If there's over 8 inches, torrential rain. That's what they got in Bicol, and also just to the north of us, they're expecting torrential rain, more than 8 inches. Okay, so it's right that we be concerned about the Lazarus at the door of our homes, that is everyone affected by the storms. Then the theme of the World Day of the Poor this year is the prayer of the poor rises up to God. The prayer of the poor rises up to God, is a quote from the book of Sirach. Well, all prayer rises up to God. The thing is, if we're not poor when we pray, we're not open ourselves to the response of God, to the love of God. It's just words that don't really get out of our orbit, you could say. But the prayer of the poor rises up to God because God loves the poor. God hears the cry of the poor. The Pope says he chose this theme about the prayer of the poor because this year, 2024, is focused on prayer. Prayer, the year of prayer in preparation for the Jubilee year. So we join our prayers with the prayers of the poor, especially those of the suffering now, and we ourselves acknowledge our own poverty, that everything we have comes from God, everything that we need comes from God, and that all our concerns for our loved ones is in the hands of God, and we're in the hands of God. So thanks be to God, the prayer of the poor rises up to God, because that gives us hope. Okay, so just some thoughts about the World Day of the Poor. I don't think most people even know this exists, the World Day of the Poor. I never heard anyone mention it. And as I say, the poor don't need it because they already know they're poor. But all of us need it. All of us need it because it reminds us of our own poverty before God. Well, let's look at the readings for just a moment. Yes, it's clear that the first reading and the Gospel speak about a future transformation, a future upheaval, which we usually refer to as the second coming or the last judgment or the end of the world. And since we're here waiting for this big storm to come and we don't know when it's going to hit, they told us it was supposed to arrive at noon. So it's past noon already. So it hasn't come here yet anyway to the metro area. But we know it's coming. We just don't know when. We don't know exactly how it will be. But it's something like what these readings remind us of, that a day will come when there will be this distress and there'll be these changes, there'll be these losses. Now, in the readings, there's both negative and positive sides to what is coming. Speaking about a typhoon or a super typhoon, very hard to think about the positive aspects of it. I'm not quite sure what's so positive about a super typhoon, especially another one in areas that are already prone to flooding and landslides. But in the readings, this end of the world is not portrayed only in a negative way. It's also in a positive way. So, for example, Daniel here, first reading, he says that when Michael shows up, it will be a time unsurpassed in distress. Okay, that's a negative way of saying it. But then he says, your people shall escape. That's a positive way of saying it. At that time, everyone's going to awaken, and some shall live forever. Okay, well, that's a pretty great thing to think of. But then some shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace. Very, very negative. But he ends on a positive note. The wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. That's clearly referring to eternal glory. And that's what we hope for with confidence in God's mercy. So positive and negative. Then in Jesus' description of the days to come, he gives a lot of very frightening imagery about the end of the sun and the end of the moon and the stars falling from the sky and everything being shaken up. But that's just the process. That's not the goal. Not the goal for the sun to be darkened. That's just the preparation process for the coming of the Lord in glory. And that's a glorious thing. So it's glorious for those who are ready, those who are prepared. Then he makes this comparison to the fig tree, which is a very positive way of saying this is like springtime. It's like the fruitfulness of a fruit tree. It's not a bad thing to have a fruit tree bear its fruit, or have a fig tree bear its figs. It's a great thing. So we look forward to it. But we look forward to it aware that, yes, there's a lot that will be lost that we will grieve the loss of. And if we're attached to it, well, then we are at risk ourselves. Because heaven and earth will pass away, he says here. All earthly things, and what we call heavenly things, meaning planets and stars, they'll all pass away. But my words will not pass away. The love of God doesn't pass away. The mercy of God doesn't pass away. His promises do not pass away. And our life with him doesn't pass away. So that's what we cling to with confidence. In fact, with joy. Did you notice how much happiness is mentioned in this opening prayer? Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. Two mentions of lasting happiness in one sentence, meaning our attitude toward the future, even though our eyes are wide open to the distress of the times, our attitude toward the future is positive. Joyful. We look forward to lasting happiness. And in the meantime, we dedicate ourselves to those good works, especially to care for the poor on this World Day of the Poor.